Dear God, thank you for the Bible and the comfort and help its words give us.
We're thanking God for the Bible now?
Yeah.
I don't think he wrote it.
He was in it.
He was in it. That's true. We do thank Mel Gibson for being in movies.
Please. I'm sorry, Lord. I know you're still listening. Let us close out this prayer.
I think we should all accept that God is not here. He is please. Not here.
No, oh, Jesus.
Let's
I'm sorry.
Hope
please.
He's not here please. Right
not
now.
Here.
Please, Jesus, please. Amen. Now you can talk.
Oh, sorry.
We heard see, all of that.
We don't really.
Oh, you got to close it. And then he's like, okay, that's yeah. good. Let's
go
sorry,
on. Sorry,
I'm
next
not
person.
A
professional prayer.
That's all right. Well, Patrice is here.
Hello.
Helping us go
Happy
to hell.
Happy New Year.
It's the first time we've seen her in the new year.
Yes.
So she's being cheesy.
Yes.
It's a week full of guests.
Right.
Yesterday, Victor Varnado, wearing his, he was wearing his ball shirt, and it says, it's I thought it was the coolest shirt I've seen.
It just says balls?
It just says balls
Yeah, as
on
soon
it.
As he took off his jacket, we were like, oh, that's hilarious, balls, it's so funny.
I've mentioned this before, whenever I went to the Poison concert, the coolest shirt I ever saw, the bassist was wearing a shirt that said fuck, and I'm like, that is the coolest. Well, that's just immature, I'm an adult now. Balls.
Balls.
I like balls. And I was
Yeah, balls is better because it's almost subtle.
It's
but
right
everybody
to the
knows.
Penis.
No, no. Balls.
Testicles.
That could be a bouncy ball.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Could be a company name.
Anything.
The Mason Jar Company is named Ball. One of them.
Oh, why?
I don't know.
I was curious, was by random. The way, Victor was on before, back at show 30. And what a difference. The old shows. If
From
you
want to
see yeah,
yeah.
progress. But I was listening to some of the show just to see the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And I came across this, and here's a clip from show number 30. We're on 202 right now.
That's true. I'm in New York right now because I am the head comedy writer for a new video game from Atari.
That is the coolest thing.
It's really fun.
And it's right up your alley.
Yeah, it is up my alley. I love video games, and I love comedy and money. And so,
and you're quite geeky, and that kind of goes into that genre, no?
I can't agree with you there. I think I'm actually
making it.
I'm very debonair. I'm debonair is what I think.
And my balls shirt.
And my balls shirt. My shirt does say balls. That is not a geeky thing. That is a debonair thing. If your shirt says balls, it is debonair.
So that's it, and it goes on for a little bit. He wore the same shirt twice for being...
It's...
For being successful.
You know what it is? He likes attention. Being albino isn't enough. He has to wear things that say balls on them so people can look at him.
I totally forgot, too, obviously.
Yeah, what an incredible coincidence, too. Right. You can't plan that.
Right.
That was like almost...
Maybe that's his New York shirt, though.
Or his lucky shirt.
That's his interview shirt.
Right. What's the story with his buddy Nick?
Oh, boo. What's his last name? Nick what?
Nick Swarzen.
Nick the asshole?
He's the right...
Schwartzen.
I don't think so.
No?
No.
Fuck him. Who cares? Nick Schwartzen is...
Swarzen.
Schwartzen.
Nick's whose last name starts with an S.
Thank you. When he first came to New York, he was trying to be an actor and a stand-up comic and whatever. And Victor Varnado lived with Colton at the time. And Colton is best friends with Nick Schwartzen, right?
Swarzen.
So,
and so, Abraham begat Noah. Noah begat.
So now Nick is staying on their couch. Their roommates, he's staying on their couch for like a huge amount of time, already a month in or something like that.
Yowza.
So I come over. And we're all hanging out. Victor goes to sleep. I'm still hanging out with Nick and Colton, and we're playing video games. Now I'm kicking everyone's ass and laughing really loud and obnoxious and whatever. And Nick starts being a complete dick to me, like just an asshole.
I think I might have heard this story before.
Yeah, I think I told it, but I'll tell it again. Fuck this guy. So Nick is a complete asshole to me, and I'm like, what are you doing? I call him out on it because I don't want to get into an argument with this guy because he's like best friends with my boyfriend and you know the whole thing. Mm-hmm. He's going to be here. So I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, I don't have to be nice to you. I'm gay. So you're gay, so you don't have to be nice to me? Yeah, I'm gay. I don't need anything from you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to be nice to you. I don't think that's true because you know what? I'm not really gay. And even if I was 0% gay, I'm still going to be nice to Patrice. Just because I don't want to lick your twat, it does not mean that I could be an asshole to
well,
you.
Well, I'm sexy.
It's true. So he just keeps pushing me and pushing me on his dumb philosophy about how he's gay and he doesn't have to be nice until he goes, you know what? Why don't you go into Victor's room and blow him because that's what you're here for
you
anyway.
You first, bitch.
See, that would have been a good response. My response was, I killed my character that I was playing with, and I sulked in Victor's room. He's already sleeping. I just went to sleep. I told Victor the story the next day, and Victor admitted yesterday that he was mad at me for not waking him up so he can punch the hell out of Nick.
Yes.
So because he couldn't punch him at that point, he called him up and made Nick call me to apologize to me. He left it on my answering machine, but I got two messages of apology because Victor said he didn't like his first apology, and he's like, why don't you call her back up and have a more sincere apology, or I'm going to punch you and kick the shit out of you.
Only boys can do that. I will punch you.
I love it. Love it. Love it. Because you know what? That can go in really bad directions, because I know other girls who've had boyfriends who don't know whose side to take.
Mm-hmm.
That's your boy. Like, they were friends also. You know, it's your best friend's best friend. You know, that whole whatever. You don't know who to be, like, you don't know if, I've seen guys go, you know, this is a friend, like, oh, let's just work it out, blah, blah, blah. No, he went straight to, I will kick the shit out of you. I respect that, man.
That's very nice.
I've been saying Swarzen, it's Swartzen. And
it's Schwartzen.
With an S. It just starts with an S.
I was around his friends. They were calling him Schwartzen.
They were wrong.
They were wrong.
Schwartzen.
Schwartzen.
That's what you've been saying all this time?
Schwartzen, yeah.
Is that what she's been saying all this time?
Yes.
I don't know. Stop pressuring me.
All right.
You do not listen.
No, for what?
So then he also apologizes, and Victor heard the apology and wasn't happy with the apology?
Yeah, I already said that part. I just proved my point.
Now I can see why he hates you.
I'm going to have to go with Keith on that one.
He's a co-writer of the new movie, Grandma's Boy.
Who cares?
The only redeeming quality to that movie is that there's a monkey in it.
Him?
No, come on.
Is it him? Is
it just based on the commercial? It looked awful.
Victor says he hates it. According to Victor's blog, there's good parts and it's not bad. I think he's just saying that because he's your friend. He hated it.
I see a monkey in a karate outfit. You kind of got me, but otherwise I'm not seeing anything.
Boo. Mm. Did I say boo already? Boo.
Oh,
fuck Nick Schwartzen Schwarzenegger. Fuck you.
So how you doing?
I'm all right. How are you doing?
I'm good.
You're
number one in... Israel, true or false?
Oh, the CD that I'm on, Extraordinary Way by Conjure One, is number one on Radio Jerusalem 101 FM. And I just did a, what is that called when you...
Air check?
I did a tag. Hi, zot Chemda mi Conjure One, ve'atem mazinim l'Radio Yerushalayim 101 FM.
Pack up your families, the bombs are coming. Was that the translation? No, did I get it? No? I'm an asshole.
So here's what I'm thinking. Because, like, we're number one. That means that we're on the radar over there in Israel. I know we have some fans in Israel. So if you can call Radio Jerusalem 101 FM, Radio Yerushalayim, and ask, like, request
the DJ to play it.
The Chemda track on Conjure One or Extraordinary Ways.
Did you hear that? That was Deuce quitting his job to sit next to his phone and call. You didn't hear it?
We have other ones. I noticed Rotem, which I love that name. That's got to be an Israeli name. I noticed other people correcting me on how to say heaven from yesterday or the day before. So we do have some Israeli listeners. So let me know if you did it. That would just be really cool.
Cool.
Very cool, I said.
You didn't put the very in front. It's very important.
Dear Keith and Chemda, I'm catching up on your shows after my iPod died just 2 weeks before Christmas.
Girl, I know the pain.
You know what? They're timed to die right before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the next sentence. I feel your pain, Patrice.
I
also got the sad face iPod when my iPod would start.
Broke my heart.
I just finished listening to the show about the listener.
That's a have a nice day. Smile right before your iPod dies.
It's a $300, please.
Christmas is coming. Ask for this.
I just finished listening to the show about the listener found a new way of dealing with his finish, just blowing his wad on the carpet. Chemda wondered what kind of bugs that would attract. I have an answer for her.
Uh-oh.
Being the male that I am, while in the shower, certain parts of the body got cleaner than others. Hey, it's my soap, my penis, and I can wash it as fast as I want. This usually means that there is no cleanup necessary, as the finish just washes down the drain. Well, one morning I'm washing that special place and send my man seed spiraling down the drain. Or so I thought. Looking back, it seems that the drain was slightly clogged completely. The result being that the finish never made down the drain completely. It adhered to the bottom of the tub.
I'm listening like, we're really going to find out. This is so great.
White tub, white finish. There was no way of seeing that there was anything left in the tub. Did I mention I live in the southern states? This has been a very bad year for ants. You cannot leave a grain of sugar out without an army of ants swarming all over it.
Ow.
I answered the call of nature only to find, later that day after I finished in the shower, I answered the call of nature only to find the bottom of the tub completely covered by a swarm of cum-guzzling ants.
Wow.
Who knew that my man seed was so sweet that it attracted an army of cum-starved ants? Now when my wife complains about swallowing and that it doesn't taste good, I tell her 10,000 ants can't be wrong. So, Hemda, an answer to your question? Ants.
There you go.
Chuck.
I'm assuming it's the sugar and the protein.
The protein.
All you bitches on the low carb, you better get up on it.
I love... Oh, that you shouldn't have said that because now women who were swallowing...
It's not bread.
Well, it's sugar. Now I'm on the carb diet. I'm not swallowing.
Run around the block. Lazy whore.
You just gave women another excuse.
I like this story in the news.
I do too.
Meet the dinner whores.
Yes.
It's in the newspaper like that.
It's in the newspaper.
Yeah, meet the dinner whores.
With this girl like looking at the camera like, I am a dinner whore.
I like food.
They're gorgeous. That's the first thing you notice. How can a man resist taking these ladies to dinner, even if he suspects that they might be staying in the relationship or simply at the restaurant, more for the pricey martinis than the possibility of marital or bedded bliss? What guys are going, I hope she wants to marry me. Meet today's modern... Sorry, Miss Steinem, dinner whore. Immortalized by frequent discussions on Craigslist and most scientifically defined by UrbanDictionary.com, the frank term doesn't scare some of today's modern female daters. Quote, the concept of dating has changed, says 26-year-old whore bombshell Brooke. No, I'm just kidding. Blonde bombshell Brooke Parkhurst.
They might as well say that. Right. They started the whole thing with this girl's a whore. The following people are whores.
I think that's going to be a New York LA thing for people in middle America that's not getting, like, it's just fucking dinner. Right. They're not taking them to Shoney's. No, they're taking them somewhere fancy.
But they have their version, you know?
I'm sure there's their version. But especially in metropolitan cities, the dinner whore thing is
going
to be rampant.
This has been going on forever, and I'm... like probably one of the only people who doesn't cash out on this. The rare dates that I went on, because I don't really go on dates, it makes me feel really, really awkward. You know, it's very strange. It's like we kind of admitted that we like each other, so we're hanging out, but we have to be really awkward because now it's like this official thing. I'd so much rather just hang out with a bunch of people. All of a sudden, you single one person out, you end up talking to that person.
You
more.
Inside.
You know? But yeah, it's really awkward, and I end up feeling really bad at the end of the date, you know, at the end of dinner, and I always take out my wallet. I really insist on paying just because I feel like it's weird. And then you know what? I do feel like I owe that person something, because if I was out with a friend and she paid for it, I know that there'll be another time I'll pay for it.
Now
you know
I see
I mean?
You in the corner just whipping out a tit. Like, okay,
yeah, okay.
I only had chicken. Fuck.
Or I go, can I get the tip? Whip him out. Thank you.
She estimates over the course of her 200-plus dinner whore encounters, she has run up combined tabs of $30,000 in New York and beyond.
Plus, how are these the skinniest women? I don't get it.
Well, remember, when you go to the fancy-ass places, they plate it different. They don't give you the giant portions.
That's true. They're portioned out nicely. But each portion has way more fat than your average.
But remember, these bitches, they're only eating meals that are paid for, most likely. So they're only really eating dinner. The rest of the day, they're just teaming out. They're like watching the watch at 4 o'clock. Like, fuck, I should have made it for 7 instead of 8.
They're actually exercising the rest of the day.
Exactly.
Women used to feel like something had to be given in exchange, whereas now I'm perfectly confident that my company is enough.
Wow.
Today's modern dater is likewise not afraid to identify himself as a dinner whore avenger, rates one on Craigslist.
Bunch of idiots. You just want to be seen with some pretty girl.
Rates one on...
Rightfully so, you buy a dinner then, if that's the case.
I need sex, and I can't hear you, Patrice.
I'm sorry.
Rates one on Craigslist who left the date with the check. No thanks, dinner whore. I won't be being your walk-in meal ticket.
What?
Dear angry penis man.
Yeah. Yeah.
What? Who said that? They just said
it? A guy who claims he's a dinner whore avenger. He wrote that on the check.
He gets back at these dinner whores, he says.
He leaves them with the check and writes on the check.
No, that never happened.
No, he didn't write on the check.
No, I mean, this whole his bullshit story.
Oh, okay, yeah. He paid, he got took.
A chick didn't fuck him. That's how he got took.
Wow.
But get to know the ladies and see if you don't want to buy them a little dinner, too. Take Bart Parkhurst, who says her DW, dinner whore days are long behind her now that she is dating a man who is fabulous in, where else? The kitchen. It's kind of ironic, she says with a giggle. A reformed dinner whore dating a chef. That must be real fun, taking you out to parties. And you keep going, I'm a dinner whore, he's a chef. Okay,
oh,
shut up,
God.
Bitch.
I don't think you keep your dinner whore status under wraps.
No, she thinks it's
funny.
It's in the fucking
newspaper with her last name. Oh, my God.
Not familiar with the term? Check Urban Dictionary. Quote, a girl who's exclusively after a free meal or an expensive gift. She actively seeks out dates with well-off men who will wine and dine her at upscale restaurants. She's usually physically attractive enough to make the man fall for her feminine wiles. What's new?
So being a cock whore is frowned upon, but dinner whore is okay. As long as you're doing it for food.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That's the same thing as asking for money. Because you're paying for something.
It's rich people panhandling.
I don't see what's new. Self-described retired dinner whore Brooke Parkhurst's favorite orders. Number one, truffle season.
Okay.
The whole season. Approximately $170.
Yeah.
Quote, anything truffle related is fabulous. They're exorbitantly expensive. If you get truffles...
She doesn't even care what it tastes like. It's just that they're so expensive.
If you get truffles...
Probably gag it down, too, just because...
What was that?
You can't eat that many truffles. It's, after a while, it's like, yuck.
What are truffles?
It's like a mushroom. Pigs actually have to find them.
If you get truffles shaved on...
It's a very rare mushroom.
If you get truffles shaved on top of a plate of pasta, it's an $85 surcharge anywhere in Manhattan.
Basically.
You won't even taste it.
Right? It's like
they do it super thin, too.
Of course.
Number two, imported oysters and champagne, approximately $500.
Well, la-di-da.
The ultimate luxury. They have to be flown in fresh, and they're like no oyster in America.
Nobody's expecting any ass after this?
No, she didn't mention that part. Is she fucking?
If you actually get into the story, the point is that they say that a lot of these guys are expensing on expense accounts these dinners anyway, so they don't feel as bad, and that's why the guys don't mind spending the money a lot of times.
Does it say that she fucks these people?
No, she's not fucking anybody, but she says you want to catch an attitude, you fucking expense it anyway. It's not like you're actually paying for dinner, especially when you get into some of the rich
guys. Why are both of you there? Like, do you even
he's usually under the pretense that he's on an actual date, but a dinner whore is a dinner whore from the get. I want to go to Daniel, which is like $500-$600 each. And so I want to go to Daniel and have the most expensive dinner possible. If you're a dinner whore, you're walking out the door knowing you're a fucking dinner whore.
Ew. Ew, 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 ew.
Number three is caviar bars, approximately $500 to $800. I'm interested in the sheer decadence of it. I suppose I don't go out and buy caviar for myself, that's for sure. And the presentation is incredibly precise.
Precise.
Classy.
Very precise the way you gave that to me. Wine tastings she likes to go to, approximately $150. You get a flight of wine, and they present you with five different types. It's almost like you are getting a lesson.
Almost. Learn something while you're whoring.
And number five, sushi, approximately $350. A Nobu or a Jewel Baku. Baco?
Baco.
It's a matter of a little food for the enormous price. I would have.
It's a matter of a little food for the enormous price.
Like sushi, yeah.
They get off on how little they get and how much the guy has to pay.
The more European, the better.
I would have to order $150 worth to fill up, but with him, it doesn't matter. It's amazing what's out there when you have a limitless credit card.
La to the da.
Yeah, it's amazing how oftentimes you get raped in a month.
You said that.
I'm just saying. Semi-related, there's a new dessert. It's an ice cream lover's fantasy, but is it worth $100? This eye-popping creation called the Volcano is believed to be the most expensive sundae in New York.
And you know what? Our shirts from now on are $100. Maybe more people will buy them.
Right.
These are so good. They're good.
Why had that? How much was that hamburger? The $52 hamburger?
Oh, that big one they cut like a pie?
No,
it's a $42 hamburger. It's a regular size hamburger.
The fuck, is it made of people?
It's close. It's made out of Kobe beef.
And it's very good.
It was
but
very
part
good.
Of
it'll be made out of Kobe Bryant.
But part of the attraction definitely was the price. Like, this is the most expensive
I
hamburger.
I have to try this. Yes. Yeah.
They got us. It tops the pricey menu at FAO Sweets, a ritzy ice cream parlor inside venerable Fifth Avenue Toy Bastion FAO Schwartz. You know, they rate this news article, and they got to admit, it's only fucking two sentences, and then they add that venerable toy bastion.
Let's put some grown-up words in there.
But the prize hasn't deterred ice cream fans, with staff saying they sell at least one of the supersized desserts a month.
It must be tourists.
Doesn't sound like
at
anything.
Least one.
It's probably tourists.
Usually to intrigue tourists. The Volcano, which is recommended to serve
four
people.
See, but now
people,
I want it. Now right. I want it. Right. Unless they're going to give me a sample and then that's it.
No, I saw a picture of it. It's a ridiculously sized thing that two people have to carry or some bullshit like that.
It says it serves
so
four
people.
So
then it's just like a couple pints of Haagen-Dazs.
It's a bunch of scoops of ice cream in a chocolate shell and you crack the shit open with a hammer. It's all about playing with your fucking food. God, people in Africa must be pissed. No, I hear Jumbo. They're over there. They play with the food. It's all like games.
It features 12 scoops of Bassett's of Philadelphia ice cream.
12 scoops?
Including peanut butter swirl. Oh, that's the classy one. Chocolate chip cookie dough, coffee, and pistachio flavors inside a Belgian chocolate mountain. It comes topped with whipped cream and glacé cherries.
We should have a Keith and the girl meeting over there. We get one of those things. Everybody splits it and gets a couple of spoonfuls.
I'm not giving y'all a fucking nickel. It's got chocolate running all up and through that shit.
Oh, yeah. She's allergic to
chocolate. I'll take the whipped cream. That's about it.
This is what you're talking about. The sundae is so big, it takes two waiters to deliver it. Then patrons take the accompanying hammer and a trowel to crack open the chocolate shell. It takes a couple of good whacks and scoop out the ice cream, which also oozes out the cracks of the volcano like a lava flow.
Fattest nation in the world, say what?
What?
What was that?
That's true. It takes two waiters. Two waiters. Mm-hmm. How many people do you need in order to order that?
It should be a trick item on the menu, and if you order it, you get taken in the back and get a talking to. Like, what the fuck are you doing with your life?
You know what that would be good for, actually? A birthday cake. That would be good.
I get that, but it's
that's cute.
But really, someone sat there and thought, you know what we need? We need a big motherfucking sundae.
Bigger than the ones we've already seen on Food Network.
Exactly.
Bigger than that.
And when you see ridiculous kids' parties, and they have this whole theme, and you wonder where it started. So it started with this dessert idea, and then they're like, okay, I need a volcano theme.
Well, right, Anthea Schwartz already does that kid's birthday party where it's a grand ahead, and you have to have 16 kids minimum, and you get to spend the night overnight in the toy store and go home with, like, maybe $400 worth of stuff.
Holy shit.
Do you get kids in New York are ridiculous.
Do you really get to run around the whole store,
Yeah, you get the store overnight.
Kids aren't breaking shit and stealing shit?
I guess it's their version of big, and, like, they have people to watch them and all kinds of shit,
right.
Which is probably why it's $1,000 a kid, and you have to have 16 kids minimum.
These people in these new tax brackets, though, to go back to, I bet they expense that.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure if you own the business, you find a way to write it out properly.
A whole person's job
I would
is
like
to
know
do
what
shady shit with your taxes.
I would like to know what kind of tipping these people at FAO Schwartz are getting the day after.
It's probably for shit, because rich people don't think about tips a lot of times. It doesn't occur to them.
If it's shit, then they add the tip.
If they used to not be rich, they give it a little bit more thought. But people, the lifers, they don't tend to think about it.
I think, you know what? Yeah, if it's new money, they're definitely tipping, and they're tipping lovely,
right.
And they're feeding you in the whole nine. But you have to be, like, really, really old kind of rich to not give a shit. Like, the kind of rich where we walk
the colonies
into your house... Who?
The colonies, like the old, like these Negroes.
Right, right. Yes.
Yeah.
Somewhere in your history, you've owned a person.
Yeah.
So when we walk into your house, whatever color we are, you're like,
tip, I've paid
ew.
You already.
Yeah. But other than that, I think rich people are usually pretty cool about tipping. That's my little experience as a clown.
This takes up so many pages in the paper.
Are you
a dinner John? Here's a handy clip and save guide. Number one, do the math, or better yet, look at your wallet. Can you date these fucking whores? If you can't, these stories aren't for everybody. Write down your age on a piece of paper. Write down the date's age. Subtract. If it's greater than 20, chances are you're being played.
What
the fuck? Look in the mirror. Now look at her. Does that make sense? My friend had a saying, the ideal woman is half your age plus 7, says Brooke Parkhurst. She's now going to write books, you know? She's going to be on Oprah. She's going to write books.
So if you're 60, a 37-year-old woman is perfect?
My ass.
But he doesn't have to be old. It's a matter of how much he has to spend. If the girl looks at your watch and your shoes before she looks you in the eye, clearly she's in it for a fun, expensive time. Not
or
for
she's
who
a mugger.
You are. You know, like all these guys are there for who the girl is.
That's true.
Exactly.
That's true.
You don't see some perfect looking woman and just assume she's fucking dumb. Oh, I think she's the one. Number two, try switching up the locations. Take her to somewhere low-key and unimpressive, like a crappy Chinese restaurant in Queens, to see how she reacts.
See, but these guys can't go to that. Also, they like the whole showing off of it.
Of course.
It's really a partnership.
Because
I think everybody's getting whatever they need, except that these whores are not putting out, and I don't know why we're calling
them
whores.
The only other guys in the fancy restaurant are other guys with dinner whores, and right. It becomes who has the best dinner whore.
And it doesn't even matter if you're married to that dinner whore or not. It's like... You married her because she's pretty, which is only fair because she married you because you're
rich.
A dentist.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So you both got what you wanted out of the relationship. He gets to be in a restaurant, in a very fancy restaurant with one of the prettiest ladies there. And she gets to go to that restaurant and then have, you know, stupid manicure lunches with her girlfriend
not
in the
have
afternoon.
To watch them damn kids.
Exactly.
Well, of course, Hendon's brothers are Richie Rich. Do they throw little tests to their chicks?
I don't. Think tests, but I don't think that.
Today we go to Wendy's. What?
But I think that they have both of that in them. Like I think it's if us three got rich, we wouldn't only be going to fancy restaurants, you know. So that's how my brothers are.
Speak for yourself. No, I'm, right.
I'm having that dessert.
You know.
But I think
I'm ordering it and not eating it.
If you spend enough time with a girl or a guy, you're gonna have to have a normal meal. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's not a test.
That
they'll
damn
just be
dollar
normal.
Menu.
We saw my brother went to McDonald's. He charged it, but he went to McDonald's.
Number three, get personal. When they ask about my mother, my sister, it's time to go, she says. I'm not going to share that information.
That's personal.
Yeah, right. I'm sure you got fucking witty repartee. Ooh, this is expensive. Ooh, look at this. Mmm, this whole place.
I'll take a second dinner to go. Bitch gotta eat lunch.
That would be so good.
You know
great.
She's
That'd
looking
be
at
perfect.
I'd like to interview her, no joke, because now you know she's looking at people and like, you know, how much can I get away with?
Right.
Like any chick, she's just coming out and gave a name to herself. That's gonna be her job now. You know, she was getting free food, but now she's gonna write books and stuff.
Well, no,
like,
she's retired from the dinner whore game, so she can write the books.
Right.
I'm gonna tell it like it is so the guys know. And nothing will fucking change in this world.
Right.
It's like that book, what's that?
Oh, he's not that into
you. He's not that into you. Didn't change any fucking thing.
Yeah, it's like the ex-crack addict. Now that you're not a crack
James
addict
Frey,
anymore,
yeah.
You can write about it, and nobody's looking at you funny. Now they're looking at you like, oh, you overcame. And it won't change because now I think it'll just give guys the liberty to be like, oh, then I can date that person. I can go to their dinner with them because they're not expecting anything from me except this dinner. So I don't even have to be witty or cool or anything. So, you know what? I think it just gives the guy another go-ahead.
And the crackhead got busted for lying, and Oprah still backed him up.
Yeah, we heard that on Larry King.
Because Oprah
that guy's
can't
name?
Be wrong. James Frey.
Yeah, I think she was backing him up.
And covering her ass at the same time.
I think
time.
Kind of,
What
yeah.
story? He wrote a book.
Called A Million Little Pieces.
It's about him being a drug addict.
Right, and it turns out when they actually do some fact-checking that a lot of the shit didn't happen quite the way he said it did.
He was
never as extreme as he said he was.
And it's a memoir and supposedly changed lives.
Right.
I get Oprah's point of view on it. If it's a memoir, that means that the book company or the book publisher, they decide, they have to fact check. It's like how we believe in the newspapers. It's up to them to do it.
You're so given a copy editor when you write a book.
So if they say that it's a memoir, I have to take it as that. And Oprah also said, if it's changing lives, it's changing lives.
Right.
Then that's it. So she,
but also, it's Oprah covering her ass.
It's
she
absolutely
made it,
her
she made it a book club.
You know what,
book. That's the whole reason it was number one. Bitches will buy shit with an Oprah sticker on
right,
it.
Right, right.
If in the dude's defense, he was a crackhead.
He don't remember.
Maybe that's the way he memoired it.
Crackheads don't keep good notes, okay?
And you know what? Like, what degrees of crackhead do you have? You have, like, if you're a crackhead, you're a crackhead. You got some shit to say. It almost doesn't matter. You know, that guy didn't have blonde hair. He had brown hair. Really? Because in my head, he had worm hair.
And he was dancing.
Yeah.
Watch her drink order. Take her out for drinks first and see if she orders 5 cocktails that night. And
well, that's a good sign. Yeah. You might be getting her thrown off and actually get in bed.
And if they're the most expensive ones on the menu.
Unless you're drinking
they always
beer,
are.
Cocktails are 20 bucks a clip.
Remove the cloak of darkness. One guy took me out for lunch and then started slobbering on my neck.
Ew.
I was like, people are seeing this now. Then he sent me a text message that said, you are so fucking hot. I want to put coke on your tits and suck them and bring in Betsy.
And then write a cokehead memoir.
He said, you are so fucking hot. I sent him one that said, keep it in your pants. He wrote back, in effect, what else are you going to make me do? It was sad. How's that a lesson?
Is she sitting across from him as he's texting her?
So slobber on your chick, and if she thinks it's kind of weird, she's a fucking dinner whore.
Right. No,
that's the lesson.
Ladies, that's not weird when we just sit down for drinks with a guy and he starts slobbering on our neck.
No, that's par for the course.
Right. I mean, he's buying us drinks, for heaven's sake.
I mean, come on.
It's at least
like I said,
a
20
nuzzle.
Bucks a clip. Yeah. For 20 bucks, at least getting a hand job out of the situation.
So speaking of these Richie Riches,
yes.
What's happening in Celebrité?
Okay, Mr. Blackwell.
Oh.
World renowned for his impeccable fashion taste.
Yeah, he does a dress list.
Yeah, he's been doing it since the 60s. Mm. Want to take a guess who number one is?
Britney Spears is the worst.
Yes.
We did this yesterday.
Oh, okay. See, that's what happens when I don't listen.
Yeah, it was all the hot chicks that's also on the world's hottest list.
Right. How
that's
is
on a different list.
How is what's-her-face, Paris Hilton, the worst dressed?
Right.
All of a sudden.
She doesn't wear clothes.
Well, that's the best dressed.
I saw her pants and it threw
she
me
wins.
Off. People magazine asked celebrities what they're addicted to, since everyone seems to be going to rehab lately.
Number one, crack.
No.
Coke.
Individual
fame,
celebrities.
Fortune.
They asked them to name what they're addicted to.
Yeah, okay. I'm sure they fucking flat
clothing.
Out said it. No,
yes, they did.
They're addicted to making better movies.
Give them a moment. Nicole Richie said she's addicted to TiVo.
That's so cute.
Oh,
yeah.
My word.
And
Tori Spelling. Tori Spelling said she's addicted to shopping for her dog. Mm-hmm.
And nose jobs. This is fun. Next.
William Shatner is addicted to his horses.
And younger girls.
And crying himself to sleep at night.
And rounding it out, Nick Cannon, best known for Nickelodeon and a few other movies, said that he's addicted to white women.
I like a little honesty. Finally. Thank you, Nick.
Yeah.
That's refreshing.
He sounded white to me. I didn't expect that.
I'm addicted to white women. It's a nice, oh, that's it's right. nice to just put it out there.
That's right. I didn't even think he's white.
He's not white.
He's not white.
No, he's black.
Oh, he's the guy that
sounded white.
He's a little kid from Roll Bounce and Nickelodeon. He's the black guy.
He does Wild and Out, right?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, okay, okay.
And he's addicted to white women.
All right.
It's nice to admit your addiction.
Oh, my God. Why would you do that? That's worse than saying crack.
Speaking of nose job whores, Tori Spelling is now engaged to her boyfriend,
That's
Dean
good.
McDermott. But she has to get divorced from her husband before they can get married. And,
why? It's Hollywood.
You know, and he has to get divorced from his wife. And
was it a real marriage anyway? That didn't count.
She was married for about a year to Charlie Shannon, and she says that babies are next. And it would be the second marriage for the both of them. And he already has two kids from his previous marriage.
I think it sounds like babies should be next. They sound very stable.
You know?
These are the kind of parents that we're
looking for. For you to know that you're in a strong relationship, you have to have overcome some things together.
Thank you, Keith.
In this case, other marriages.
My wife. He already has a 7-year-old named Jack and a 5-month-old named Lola.
Lola?
Good, because I don't want to ruin her skeleton figure.
Some people are predetermined to be strippers. Name it Lola.
Why not Cherry? Why not just
Cherry
dinner
pop.
Whore?
Cheeseburger. She's a dinner whore. Dave Navarro owns a club in L.A. called Rock Bar, and he was assaulted by a fan the other night because the fan came over and wanted him to take a picture with his sister, and Dave refused. And the fan figured, maybe I insulted him. He's in his club. He's trying to have a good time. So he sent over a round of drinks, which Dave refused.
Oh.
I don't see. You know what? That's a tough call to make.
Really?
Honestly. You don't know who's crazy and who's not.
Well, not so much that. Dave's actually an alcoholic. So you might want to refuse the shots. The fan then decided that he didn't like that and came over and turned over the entire table. He then had to be restrained by bodyguards and taken out of the club.
Is he in the mob? Was the guy in the mob or Italian?
No, just some random guy who ended up being maybe about 6'9". And Dave's a very tiny man.
But he
sent an alcoholic a round of shots and then got mad when he wouldn't drink them.
Could Dave go, can you tell him, sorry, no, I'm an alcoholic.
No, mind your fucking business. No, thank you.
That's true. Yeah.
When you're in your club, especially.
And you know what? If you're such an Uber fan.
Wouldn't you know
you
that?
Should know that.
I would almost be insulted you didn't know I'm an alky.
Right, that's like somebody sending you chocolate after all these episodes.
Thank you.
I'm a huge
without a note that says haha.
I'd give the drinks back and go, thank you, but I get these for free.
it's my
which is kind of true too. That's another way to take it.
It's my club.
Stop. Thank you for the money, but you know, keep your drink.
Next time, yeah, yeah, that's true.
How much did you pay for those? What are we making on those? 20 each?
I'll take my commission from the back. It's okay. The only highlight from the People's Choice Awards this week, George Lopez, who hosted, got on stage and
George
said...
George Lopez hosted?
Who else is going to host? It's a People's Choice Award.
Okay.
It's not important. He said, the producers wanted to apologize to Nick Lachey, who could not be here tonight because they didn't need any more seat fillers.
Snap.
Wow.
They then, of course, immediately panned to Jessica Simpson, who's looking uncomfortable, and they cut back to George, who says, that was just to make up for Dukes of Hazzard.
What?
Well, it doesn't seem so crazy to me. I don't know how that's news. I really don't.
Well, it's on CBS, so it's a very mild award show.
What was that thing Ali G hosted?
That just shows, I'm sorry, that just shows that the awards sucked, if that's the crazy thing that happened. That's no dance true. Numbers, no collaborations.
Well, that, and she did the stupid Dukes of Hazzard horror song on stage.
These boots are made for walking. That's just what they'll do. These boots.
Yeah, her choreography consists of left titty, right titty. There's no actual footwork. No, it was left, right. Almost better than you, Mariah Carey. Almost. I'm gonna have to put that second though.
This is, you know why? Because she doesn't know what sexy is. Every girl who sings like that is like, no, that's what guys want, and they want me to trail off.
This song is so constipated. That was crazy.
So did he have to apologize?
No, for what?
No, so what
I don't
was
know.
The thing?
It fucking made the news.
I don't know. No, he didn't have to apologize.
Ali G hosted what some, you know, I don't know if it was MTV Music
Europe.
Awards in Europe.
Yeah.
He was insulting to just about everybody. He's like, speaking of whores, here's the Pussycat Dolls. Just outright shit like Ali
Well, come
G.
on, you name the fucking group Pussycat Dolls. Right, I'm going to make a joke.
Just everybody. He's just insulting everybody before. I wish I had all the quotes, but...
And in other Jessica Simpson news, now that she is divorcing Nick, she's going out on her own. She has to buy a home and decorate it and all that stuff. And being the insane genius she has bought some art by Todd Goldman. It's stick figure portraits at $1,000 a pop. With such intelligent phrases as, you say I'm a bitch like it's a bad thing. And, boys are dumb. Throw rocks at them.
No, she didn't.
I'm sorry, who is this?
Jessica Simpson.
That's cute.
Yes, she had.
That's cute.
Yeah.
At a grand a pop.
Grown adults, what's money to them? That's a fucking dollar a pop, you just said.
That's true.
No, people. Is it okay that grown girls are buying all this Hello Kitty shit? What's the fucking difference?
The difference is this is your home, and you're putting up a thing that says, boys suck.
Can't you have a fucking...
You've had a husband, not a boyfriend. You had a husband.
You need grieving.
Meet me in the pink room. We're all going to get manis and petties because boys suck.
This is my shoe room.
Everybody grieves differently.
That's true.
Jack Black is engaged to his girlfriend, Tanya Hayden. She's an animator, and they haven't set a date, but they got engaged for Christmas.
That's nice to hear. We like Jack Black.
Jack Black was dating...
Laura Keitlinger. They broke up last year.
Good. Maybe he realized she's not that funny.
But she's really pretty.
Is Sarah Silverman...
She's weird.
Is Sarah Silverman still dating what's-his-face from...
As far as I know, yeah.
What's his name?
Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah. Really? That's been going on
she's
for
really
a while.
Pretty too.
She's gorgeous.
They say she's a dinner whore. They say, like, she attaches herself.
Right.
Really.
You mean a comedy dinner whore? Like she attaches herself to somebody who can help her out in the business? That's all of Hollywood, though, in all fairness.
Who isn't a whore in that capacity?
Yeah, that's... Right? You don't make friends to make friends. Nobody likes each other.
Once again...
See how we know everything? Duh, that's Hollywood.
Whatever.
Anyway.
New molestation charges for Michael Jackson.
Nice!
It's not a new year unless he was accused of touching a kid.
Because now he's in a whole new country with whole new
Bahrain.
Kids.
Bahrain. But this is an old kid. It's one of his old heads. It's not one of his new kids.
How old is he, 13?
The kid's now 20.
Ooh-ha.
And he's filing
charges.
What's
done is done.
Well, what's done is done?
Let's
Why are you
on.
Still mad at your father?
I let it go. I let it go. Let it the fuck go.
Right.
Well, the kid is he's accusing Michael of touching him on multiple occasions between the ages of 2 and 14.
You know, Michael Jackson touched me.
You touched me too,
Hamper. Yeah. So
was it the same night? Were you there?
Would that be funny if you can put together a class action lawsuit, you know, of Michael Jackson touchings?
He showed me the video game room, and then he Jesus asked for my juice. Underwear, and there was wine.
Now that we know what he's doing, we can say that there was Jesus juice.
There's I a mole on his penis.
Yeah. His penis is stripes. It's stripey, right? Isn't that what one of the kids said?
And it says "Lip Strong" on the side. but he also says that Michael Jackson stole his musical ideas. This is where the case starts to fall apart.
And case dismissed.
He had you paying attention for a second with the molestation in the 2 through 14. But when you get to the musical ideas, was it up against the wall? Which album was it?
I think he took hee hee.
He stole that from me. And he also claims that
off the wall, is that what you're meant?
like that was the last good album. So if it was anything after that, you don't deserve a dime. But
people get in the spotlight and they don't. I think all these kids were touched, and then they get confused, and they're like, somebody's listening to me. Finally,
I invented the moonwalk.
Yeah, I wrote that. I wrote the moonwalk.
I wrote it.
And he also says that Michael Jackson forced him to have plastic surgery to have a cleft chin to look like him because he wanted him to be his son. See, you had me with the touching. It's all the other.
Does
shit
he have a
stuff.
Cleft chin though?
I haven't seen a picture of him yet. But if he does, okay, maybe. But then again, you might just be fucking obsessed and went and got yourself a cleft chin.
Word.
So it can go both ways.
And now you need to pay for it, and you're like, fuck.
And I'm not a Michael Jackson didn't touch the baby's advocate, but your story's looking kind of funny.
Right.
So, Colin Farrell, we've been talking the past couple days about his sex tape at dirtycolin.com.
Ooh, it was, okay.
Yes. It's in the forums already. It was not shut down by his lawyers because they can't put any more injunctions against it. What happened was...
There's a limit on how many injunctions you can have on a case?
No, not even that. It's outside of their jurisdiction at this point. What happened was it was on an offshore server that was overloaded. So they're reloading, they're getting bigger servers to be able to load it. So it's not been shut down by lawyers, but they have sued this new company because it turns out even the Playboy Playmate who was trying to originally sell the tape is suing this company because it's a third party company that got the tape anonymously and she's not receiving a fucking nickel from it. So she's suing because she's not getting paid for the tape that she stole and released.
Right, but she's in it, so technically she can release it.
Right.
But she... done fucked
but this
up.
Other company stole the tape and released it first.
Everyone's gonna get paid on this.
Oh yeah,
everyone. They'd be like, okay, here's a chunk. Right, were you able to get on the site because it's overloaded?
It is. It's down at the moment, but it's not been shut down for legal reasons
because it's loaded.
It's got to say
full of loaded.
They only have still when it goes up and there's an official copy of it, I'll post it in the forums in the thread that's already started, but there isn't a copy as of yet.
All right, we'll look forward to that.
And the Ashley Simpson sex tape is fake. I saw the rest of it. It's nothing to talk.
What do you mean?
About.
It's
just a bitch with black hair and a big nose. It's not Ashley Simpson. That came out slightly harsher than I intended.
I'm sorry.
But...
I tried and it didn't work. You had to call me out on it? Jesus. No, you could have just asked for a cut.
Well, because there's moments where you're like, maybe that's the right tit size, but it's not her. It's not her.
She did the research. Not the right tit
I
size.
I do my research. It's not the right tits.
That's beautiful.
People are jerking off to it. She's studying it side by side.
No, get the forensics. Those aren't the right titties. Ben Affleck and Matt Damon are going to team up to do another movie. They are doing a remake of Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, which starred Paul Newman and Robert Redford originally.
Why would they do a remake? They're actually good writers.
Who's in it?
The original starred Robert Redford and Paul Newman.
Who's in it now?
Ben Affleck and Matt Damon.
Good.
But you said they're writing a new thing?
They're remaking the original film. It was a film already.
Boo. Okay. Boo.
A company called BetUSA.com has offered Lindsay Lohan free rehab in Costa Rica.
What the fuck?
Wait, does it come with an iPod?
You know what?
If you click here, if you catch the target and shoot the duck, you get free rehab in Costa Rica.
We're also, if she doesn't want to leave the States, we're offering free rehab as well.
They've got a nice room up here, Linz. It's quick to the city.
We'll move the office into the bedroom.
You can bring Kate Moss. She can take a spell too.
Yeah.
They've been hanging out together lately.
Yeah. We'll give you the big room.
In Manhattan, they were at the dark room the other night.
And the one good sheet. Although I don't think we have any. You, Patrice, after this show, we are showing you our blanket. It was the good blanket. It was one of those like good comfy ones. And all of a sudden, it just started ripping apart. So now we look like mummies when we're sleeping, because really it's just a whole bunch of threads on us.
People are hanging on by a thread. That's what it is.
You can just take one of those threads and lay it on Lindsay when she's sleeping.
See, she only needs the one thread. She doesn't need a whole blanket. Get a washcloth. She'll be fine.
Well, after we rehab her, we're going to need the whole thing.
But the representative for BetUSA said that we have a guy down here named Todd. He's a very skilled individual who can help her with her problems. What?
Todd wants to meet Lindsay Lohan.
Todd. Yeah,
his
Todd
card. His card says, quote, I'm Todd.
Todd, nice to meet you. In addition, like I said before, to being in the Popo's Out video for Kevin Federline, Britney Spears is now doing backing tracks for the album.
Well, that'll make it a hit.
She's really just seeing how far she could fall before someone just snatches her up and says,
no more. No more.
Yeah. Angelina Jolie's publicist has now officially confirmed the pregnancy.
Damn it.
She was showing anyway, but they officially, and Brad's as well, saying that they're indeed,
Brad's showing too.
They're in a, you know, that they're in a relationship and she is pregnant. Jennifer Aniston's representative says Jennifer Aniston doesn't comment on other people's affairs.
Oh no.
Which is cunt for he fucking knocked her up. This motherfucker.
After all the time that I've been waiting.
You know what? Lady. Fuck arbitration. We're going to court. That's what that was.
Again, she does her research.
Yeah.
Everything means something.
And Gary Glitter, who we were talking about having charges in Vietnam for child rape.
I don't like that name, so yes, he did it.
Okay. They dropped the child rape because
damn
he paid
it.
The families.
Oh, wow.
That's what the update was last time. But right now, he's going to be charged formally with obscene acts with two girls aged 10 and 11 at the time. He's accused of kissing and engaging in other acts with the girls. And if convicted, he can face 3 to 7 years in Vietnamese jail. As opposed to before where they would have stoned him to death or some other barbaric thing.
Isn't that the same thing to go to Vietnamese jail?
You're gonna come out
wrong?
With something.
Right?
You're going to have the itchies when you come out.
I'm picturing those wooden cages is Vietnamese jail.
But like in
issues.
Small, right?
Yeah.
So you can't ever
you
stand
guys,
up.
What? You pay too much attention to Broke Down Palace. they're starting the Chronicle of Narnia. They're doing
Chronic. What?
That's such a cute video. They're starting the sequel soon. It's going to come out Christmas of 07. It's going to be the fourth book of the series, which is called Prince Caspian. And all the kids have signed up already because it's
Wait. This is, they're starting with the fourth book.
Well, they can't go in order technically because in some books all the kids aren't in it. This book is the only other book where all four kids are featured in the movie. And apparently it's, I remember reading it, but I don't remember anymore, but you can jump around without really changing anything. It's not like Harry Potter where it's like first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, or whatever the case is.
That's a good sign of a series.
You know, you can jump around. So this, the kids are all signed up because it is the only other movie that they can all four appear in. They're already all signed on for the movie.
Is that so they just don't get too old to play the characters?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Especially that littlest girl. You know, kids like to jump and get real big all of a sudden, so.
Right.
They're going
to
start
they
filming
like to
now,
do that, yes.
But it's not going to come out Christmas. You've seen them. You were one.
Yes, yes.
Macaulay Culkin announced that he's engaged to his girlfriend, Mila Kunis, from The 70s Show.
Get out.
Yeah, it's his
who,
second
the,
marriage.
The short one or the tall one?
The brunette, the youngest girl.
Shut up.
Yeah, they've been dating for about 2 years.
Wow, she's hot.
They
okay.
I saw them both on that stupid e-poker show.
Celebrity Poker Challenge or whatever it's called.
Yeah, the one that the other girl from 70's Show.
Oh, Laura Prepon.
Yeah.
And you get invited to the person's house and stuff and they show you the house.
So
and,
it's unwatchable.
Yeah.
But they were hanging out there.
Wow.
Interesting.
So it's Macaulay's second marriage. He was married at 17 to Rachel Miner. And
how old is he now? 23?
23 or 24.
Wow.
Yeah, you gotta space it out.
Well, he bounces back pretty well.
Melissa
that's
Joan.
That's his third. It's going to be his third divorce. Second divorce. He divorced his parents. He divorced this girl.
Oh, that's right. He did divorce the parents.
Yeah. So here comes number three.
He likes having documents signed. That's all it is. For the second week in a row, Jamie Foxx has the number one album in the country. And I still haven't heard the song.
Me neither. Is it on the radio?
Yeah, apparently.
Really? Does it sound like Ray Charles? Oh, you haven't heard the song.
I haven't heard the song.
Okay.
I think you got to space out your Ray Charles songs. I'm sure there's another one on the album that sounds like Ray Charles, but I don't think the single. Melissa Joan Hart, better known as Sabrina the Teenage Witch, had a baby this week. His name is Mason Walker Wilkinson.
Ew.
Can't anyone just name the kid Bill or Bobby? Tony's a nice name.
Ew.
No?
No.
Okay. And to wrap it up, Sony Music has started a new record label for gay, lesbian, and transgender artists. You want to guess the name?
Well, yeah, yeah, yeah. Fagalicious.
No.
Keith. Let me write an acronym. Is it an acronym?
No, it's not.
Oh.
Beautiful. Trans music sexual.
Music with a twist.
Oh no!
I could have got that one.
Really?
No,
but you didn't.
It's with the founder of Logo, which is the gay channel. That's not me just calling.
Why
it the
do
gay
they
channel.
Have to have
that's
a whole separate
slogan.
One?
We're the gay channel.
They don't have any gay people
so they
until
can
now.
Kiss on cable. That's all it is. You know, on broadcast, they don't really show two men or two women kissing for the most part. But it's with the founder of Logo, and it also has an accompanying TV series that's going to start airing this weekend on Logo called Twist. So if you're gay, lesbian, or transgendered, then you can carry a tune. There's now a label for you.
Congratulations.
You know.
All right. Start kissing girls because they'll probably accept you faster than the regular record label. You know what I mean? Is that all?
That's it.
All right. Wrapping it up. We do have a live show this Friday at midnight.
Nice.
And
KeithandtheGirl.com.
Went to a really, really fancy restaurant. This is not too long ago. It's super, super fancy place in New York. One of the top restaurants in America. It's called Jean George, and it's in the Trump Building by Central Park. And the thing is, like, I'm certainly a lot better at it now, but I've always had this problem, this self-consciousness when I'm in a fancy place or like flying first class or something, where I get kind of uncomfortable and just assume everybody's looking at me like, you know, I won some sort of contest or something. You know, and I'm a lot better about it now, but I still have that feeling like people, you know, if I'm in first class section, somebody's like, oh, look, honey, the Make-A-Wish Foundation is flying a boy up. So anyway, I go, and I'm more uptight than my girlfriend is, and we go make reservations. I get there, dress really nice, and put in my reservation or, you know, my name. And the guy goes, okay, we'll have your table ready for you in a minute. Have a drink at the bar. I was like, okay. And I go over and order a glass of wine. And then like 3 minutes later, a little guy in a tuxedo comes over. And he's holding this like silver like tablet thing that's like slightly bigger than his hand, you know, this like whatever you call it. And and he comes over and he goes, Monsieur, your table is ready. And I was like, oh, okay, but I don't know what the tablet is about, you know, the silver thing. And I'm like, and I'm thinking, like, am I supposed to tip him? Or that's kind of garish, right? You don't do that, right? And so I'm like, and now, like, every second that passes, I don't know what the fuck I'm supposed to do. And I'm like, really starting to get really self-conscious. Like, you know, he's just standing there. I'm like, do I reach for it? I mean, do I insert it into the table? Is that how the table starts? Or what is, I don't know what to do, you know? And I'm standing there and every second feels like a minute and I'm like, just like, and I'm not, you know, grinning like the retarded foreign cousin, you know, it's just like, America, you know, like I don't know what the fuck I'm supposed to do. And I'm like, you know, and then he eventually, after a couple seconds, he takes my wine glass and he puts it on the tablet and it's like, oh, that's what it was for, you know? And the wine glass was just, it was doing fine in my hand. I had no problem with it. I didn't, you know, there was no, you know, there was no danger of me going, fuck you, bitch, you know? Like, that's, I'm perfectly capable of transporting my own wine to the table. You know, I've done it a million times, but that's how classy it was. He was like, took the glass and put it on the silver tray, and then just walked 10 feet to my table, and that's all it was for, is to give my wine a little silver ride. How about that wine? That was a classy little ride, wasn't it? A lot better than being in that hand. And we're sitting there, and it's really good food, and we're enjoying it. And then about halfway through the meal, I have this epiphany, and I go, I like realize, and I go, wait a second, you guys, this isn't worth $500. Come on, where's Ashton? Where is he? You know, and no, but it was good and everything, but but then, so then at the very end of the meal, you get the dessert. And there's every course, there's like seven courses, and each course is like three things in the course. And then we get the very grand finale. And the dessert thing is this big, hand-carved like chocolate mountain thing. And then on the top of the chocolate is a real sheet of real gold. Yeah. Tasteless, odorless gold to eat. And I thought, wow, man, if that isn't the ultimate fuck you to poor people, I don't know what is. That is an awesome gesture of fuck you, poor people. That, and I started thinking about the journey that that gold took to get to America, you know, like starting like, you know, in Uzbekistan and like a mountainside where some like 60-year-old guy with, you know, making $5 a week, you know, has got stubby little fingers and they're kind of half nubby and they're always all scarred and everything. He's crawling down this cave to, you know, with his blasting caps and his nitroglycerin. He's trying to get, you know, just scrape out any gold. I must make Susu her medicine money, you know, and then, and they're like, come on, old man, get that gold out, get the dirt out, get those nuggets out. It's got to go to America. And then they load it up and they take it to the smelter. It was like some 100-year-old guy with scoliosis and missing both eyes and pockmarked from all the gold that's coming out. And he's like, come on, smelt it faster. Let's go. It's got to go to America. Make those bricks. Make those gold bricks. And then, you know, like a bunch of, you know, 8-year-old kids with hobbled legs, you know, are loading it up into the freighter, you know. Please, I hope I am free someday. And then they get the gold and it gets on the ship and they bring it all the way to America and then they shave it off and you put it on your dessert and you're like, hey, yeah, thanks a lot. Anyway, so then I closed the bond at a 4.7 merger, and then, yeah. And that's so funny. What'd you say? You had to get Susu or medicine money? That's so ironic, because I'm in the pharmaceutical industry. Anyway, I didn't even fucking enjoy it. Look at that. I didn't even taste it. Doesn't taste like anything. Where'd it go? I don't know. There it is right there. You want to come get it? Come on, swim for it. That'll feed your family for a year, you poor fuck.
Ticking on the clock, counting every day I've been alone. How long before you're coming back? If I don't see your face, I'll turn to stone.